3 years after the Minsk ceasefire was signed, a new round of diplomacy on Ukraine appears set to begin at the annual Munich Security Conference, which kicks off later this week. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFRL, and joining me in the studio is RFRL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
So, Russian media is reporting that Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov will travel to Germany for the annual Munich Security Conference, which is scheduled for February 16th to the 18th. That's this coming weekend. And according to reports in the Russian and Western media, a four-way meeting on Ukraine under the so-called Normandy format is in the works. Now, Steve, today marks 3 years since the Minsk II ceasefire was signed. And as I noted on this morning's Daily Vertical, the war obviously has not stopped in the past day alone. Ukraine claims that pro-Moscow separatists have launched no less than 9 attacks in the Donbas. And we've long been assuming that the Minsk ceasefire and the Normandy process was dead in the water, but now we have reports that there's an attempt to revive the so-called Normandy format in Munich. Steve, what can we expect at this point?
Oh, I think it's a little hard to say. You know, as you mentioned, the 3 years after Minsk II, the war has not stopped, and also the other things that were called for under Minsk II, the kind of political aspects of the agreement and the eventual goal of restoring Ukraine's control over the border with Russia. You know, there's been very little movement on most of those. So, the situation's still extremely difficult. There's talk about how this is one of the worst winters. The war is continuing apace. But I think there's some indications of, a couple factors that would point to maybe, the idea that something new or some movement could come out. I'm not saying this weekend, but could eventually come out of this. I mean, one is, I think one thing to watch is continue to watch is the talk about UN peacekeepers.
Yes.
And that's something. And we had an initial meeting between Volker and Surkov, which was very unpromising. After their more recent meeting, Surkov came out of it very positive, saying essentially the U.S. made new proposals and they're feasible at first glance. I think the Kremlin kind of toned that down, that enthusiasm down, and Volker didn't really, confirm that there was that they were close to a deal. In fact, he said they were not close. But I think this is something that the peacekeeper idea is something that Germany's been interested in, repeatedly saying since Putin mentioned the idea that, yes, this is a start. We should work with this. So I think, if there's any place to look for possible movement, it might be on that issue.
Yeah.
Another factor to think about is the upcoming Russian election, where you wonder, there was the talk, which you've mentioned about the possibility of Yavlinsky replacing
Surkov, which I completely dismissed as nonsensical when I first saw it, given the fact that Yavlinsky has called for a renunciation of the annexation of Crimea, an end to Russia's aggressive war in the Donbas, that this guy's going to get a Kremlin job. But the commentary in the Russian media about this since, particularly Tatiana Stanovaya had a great piece in Republic Ru about this is not as far-fetched as it seems. And it would be a signal maybe that the Kremlin would want to be taking a step back and dialing down things in Ukraine. I'm still skeptical.
Right, absolutely. I mean, if you think Putin wants to make nice with the West, going into his new term, I mean, obviously some kind of a olive branch on eastern Ukraine is one way to do it. But I agree, it does seem bizarre.
I thought it was some kind of fake news when I first saw it, and then I double checked, and it was actually it was sourced to Yavlinsky. The Kremlin wasn't denying it, and people were commenting on it as if it were real. So I guess it must be. I don't expect any olive branches before the election. I think if there's any movement before the election, Putin's going to have a mission accomplished moment, which I don't. There's not much time for that.
That's true.
Now, so I expect. But one thing to watch for in this meeting in Munich is who's going to be present, because if it's Lavrov, then we're talking a ministerial meeting. And by protocol, there should be Lavrov, Pavlo Klimkin, the Ukrainian foreign minister, Jean-Yves Le Drian, apologies to my French friends if I mispronounce that. On the French side, unclear who would be there for Germany, right? Because right now, Sigmar Gabriel is the foreign minister who has a, let's put it mildly, a very sympathetic approach towards Russia's approach to this.
Right.
He was rumored to not be attending Munich. Martin Schulz, the leader of the Social Democrats, was supposed to be coming in as the new German foreign minister. Reports surfaced over the weekend that there's kind of turmoil within the Social Democratic Party, and Schulz is backing off on his desires for the foreign ministry. So it's unclear who would be representing Germany in that situation. But one has to wonder, because I've seen some reports that Poroshenko is going to be present.
Right.
And one has to wonder, well, if Poroshenko is going to be present, maybe Macron and Merkel would be present. If we start to see heads of state and government attending this in addition to Poroshenko, then that might indicate that there's something serious in the works. If it's a ministerial meeting, it looks like they're probably still trying to work things
out.
Yeah,
no, I agree. Another element, I guess, is the U.S. presence with I believe, Tillerson and Mattis being in Munich. So, you know, they're not obviously part of this group of four, but, you know, if there is some kind of movement or something,
you would expect Tillerson or somebody to be present there along those lines. So I think this will be something to watch at Munich. Is always something to watch. Diplomatic signals are always sent out in Munich.
Absolutely.
There's always a lot of diplomacy on the sidelines in Munich. And I think if we're going to see any movement on Ukraine, this will be one of the places to watch. We'll be keeping an eye on that later in the week. And on that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been RFRL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. I will be traveling, so the briefing will actually not appear for the next couple of weeks, but we'll be back. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.